This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. As part of the Damansara Performing Arts Centre's Spectrum Musical Recital, we will see a Sarawakian showcase called Kalonan. The show will explore the theme of love through multidisciplinary performances that draw on Sarawak's performing traditions. The show is happening on the 6th and the 8th of September. And to tell us more, we have with us today Juvita Tatanwan from the Tuyang Initiative. How are you, Juvita?
I am good, Sharmila. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
You can start off by telling us what Kalonan means.
Okay, so Kalonan is a Kenyah and Kayan word that means people. The essence of it is people. And it's a word that we feel could embody what it was that we want to portray in this piece. And it's fluid enough for us to showcase different aspects of the Kenyah and Kayan culture.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it, to use the arts or performances as a way of depicting people. Yeah. What kind of link do you hope to draw with this show?
Well, I think what is most important is for the audience to walk away understanding a little bit more about the Kenyah and the Kayan people. And I think what we have tried to put together was using universal themes. You know, everybody can relate to love. Everybody can relate to stories of war. So we kind of put that all together in the context of how or what had happened in the past for the Kenyan and the Kayan people. I think we shall see if that's something that people can draw and walk away thinking, okay, I have a better understanding of Kenyan and Kayan culture now.
So what are the performances that we'll be seeing on the during the show?
So we will be introducing, I think there are components that people might have already seen, especially here in the Klang Valley. So like sape is something that I think is getting more traction right now. So sape is one key component of the Kenyah and Kayan community. We will also be showcasing the different forms of oral tradition in the different contexts, in the stories that we will be telling. And last but not least is the component of dance, which is also something that's very important to our culture. So stringing that all together in cohesively trying to showcase different parts of history and how peacemaking was done through all these disciplines was something that we tried to put together.
So who are the performers that you've brought for the show?
Oh, we've got a huge team of performers this time around, and everyone's from everywhere, actually. So we've got Adrian Joe, who will be performing the Kayan oral tradition, the Parap, together with his eldest. We will also have Matthew Ngau Jiao, who's a sape master, and he will be leading the rhythm section, I guess you would call it, with the sape performers that we will have with us. We also have Solomon Gao and Lian Balan, who are from two very different villages. They're both, all of them are Kenya. And we also have Rose, as well as Marlin and Grace, as well as Eleanor, who are all the dancers from different parts of Baram as well.
Is it the same show that we're going to be seeing on both nights?
Yes, it will be the same show.
And you're calling it a multidisciplinary performance. So is it sort of individual sections that showcase each of these art forms, or is there also going to be parts where they come together?
Actually, it's a... We will contextualize it in a way that would fit the theme. So we've got the show broken up in acts, and I think that's easier to explain the context of the life of the Kenya and the Kayan people. So we have to start with war, you know, and then how people come together for peacemaking, and then eventually how do people fall in love, and then how everyone comes together in celebration. And in all these components, people will get a chance to see all the art forms come together and how it's done in context to these parts and these phases of life.
So there's almost a sort of a narrative running through the whole show.
Yes, correct.
Why did you decide to do it that way? I mean, typically, I think performances tend to, especially when it's performances that are older art forms, they tend to be showcased quite individually, right?
Yeah, and I think that is part of the greater challenge. A lot of times, it's easier to just showcase it as it is, but it doesn't provide context to the audience who's watching. And I think that kind of creates that distance between the audience and the community and the culture. So this time around, we shifted that a little. I removed myself as someone from the community and put myself in the seat of an audience member and to watch this with fresh eyes, you know. And from that context, then it was easier for me to understand, oh, okay, for us, when we look at it, it's just, you know, dancing is dancing for us, singing is singing for us. But we needed to tell a story where people can understand that, you know, you don't just randomly break out in a song. It's actually part of a celebration, or it is part of the peacemaking process. And doing it this way, hopefully, will get people closer to our communities.
Why were these particular art forms chosen to be a part of this, I suppose, this narrative of a performance that you're doing?
Well, I think the art forms that people will be seeing are some of the key ones from the Kenya and the Kayan communities. And it's not something that we handpicked and said, okay, we need a singing component here or, you know. It was just what would be the best way to tell the people about the times of war. And then from there, we drew things like the war song. You know, we landed on the war song, and then, you know, it's perfect to showcase how the Kenya or the Kayan community would have done their war cry. You know? And then from there, how do we translate the time of the intensity of war? And then that's how we selected a dance. You know, and that's how we brought that together and created the narrative that worked best.
Mm. What are some of the challenges of bringing performances like these, particularly to a contemporary and very urban audience? Do you struggle with what to keep in, whether something is maybe slightly too obscure? How do you work these challenges?
I mean, the channel and the way we have chosen to put our people and our culture to the foreground was already something very consciously done, right? So we chose this stage and we chose it this way because it is what we feel a contemporary audience could potentially appreciate, rather than, you know, going to people coming to Sarawak and going to Cultural Village to watch, you know, people in colourful costumes and stuff like that. Putting it this way will get people to not only see the stories and who we are, but they will also come, hopefully, to see a quality show. So it's not just about learning about the traditions and whatnot, but also for people to go, wow, that was a really good put together show, you know? Mm. And I think that in itself is enough for us. I think it's not as important for us to try. We could go technical, you know, we could go like very, stage design, let's do this and let's do that. But I think what's most important is for our own community practitioners showcasing the stories themselves. And I think that's the heart of it all.
It's interesting that you mentioned that quite familiar experience of going to a very, I suppose, one of these tourism-led villages or spaces where you consume some of these performances, but without a lot of connection or context, I think.
Yes.
How important is it when you put on a show like this that the audience actually not just views the performance, but actually has a context and a larger understanding?
So when we put this together and structured it, and again, like I mentioned, I removed myself from the community and put myself in an audience seat. imagining myself watching it for the first time and having no idea who these people are and what's going on stage, I thought it was important that we built that bridge. And we did it through, you will see translations when the singing's done. We will provide context to what are the scenes and the phases that we go through, you know. So I think those are very important in order for the audience to connect in a way that they probably would never have, especially when they have encountered our cultures in tourism settings and the likes.
Mm. And what was the work process in terms of getting the different performers and practitioners to work with you and to come up with this end product?
Well, it was actually pretty. It's definitely out of the norm for our community practitioners. So when I told everybody about this idea, we actually did our first workshop at the end of last year, where I brought everybody together. We've got Lian and Edmund from Longmo who traveled down like 6 hours by car and 1 hour by boat, you know, just to get to Miri. And then we got Adrian who came in from Bintulu. And, you know, we got all these practitioners together and I told them, we've got so many great stories, we've got so many things to tell, but I think it's time for us to put on a show that people can feel our stories and understand our stories. And they were like, what do you mean? Because in their minds, for the practitioners, most times, especially the elder generation, it's just me singing. Like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean? So we had to explain it, you know, okay, this is going to be a 50-minute show. And in order to sustain 50 minutes and to be able to tell a story that's going to stay true to who we are, we need to put it in context. You know, we need to break it down and do that. And even for the first couple of practices, they're like, "Oh, I don't understand. Like, why? Why do I need to sing it now? Not like, you know." It's like, no, it's not exactly a set list. You know, you don't just like break out in song whenever. We're trying to tell the story of the time, you know, when in the olden days, when the Kayan and the Kenyah community were in conflict, you know, and stuff like that. So after going through the flow a couple of times, the elder ones finally were like, oh, now I get it, you know, right. So we started at this and then, oh, right. Oh, this, so this is the longhouse. Yeah, okay. So it was a very interesting process even for them. To now finally see like, oh, okay, now I get it. And I actually had to break it down like, okay, so this is what we're doing. Here's the translation. So we had to sit down, Adrian and I had to sit down and we had to put in a language that could give the essence of what's being sung, you know, and that in itself is quite a task because you can't really do justice to expressing it that way, right? So we did the best we could in whatever poetic English language we could use to try and bring that out. So yeah, we hope we did it justice.
Well, thank you so much, Juvita.
Thank you, Sharmila.
I've been speaking to Juvita Tatanwan of the Tuyang Initiative about Kalunan, a Sarawakian performance showcase that is happening at the Damansara Performing Arts Centre on the 6th and 8th of September. The performances are part of the annual Spectrum Music Recital. Tickets are priced at 58 ringgit and available at dpac.com.my. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app and on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.